What's going on, Tin and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday, March 31st, 2025. Hard to believe we're already at the end of March, but here we are. Episode 437 of the Tin and J-Man Show is live on the IC Sports Network, the IC Sports Network YouTube page, and the Tin and J-Man Show Facebook page. I'm Tanner Lee. On screen with me, a state over to the west in Illinois. It's Josh the J-Man Munt. J-Man, what's going on?
Not a whole lot there, T-Dog. Not a whole lot today.
Yeah, man. It's you survived the storms okay?
We didn't get much. I know. I think they went just south of us. We had a few rumbles of thunder and a little bit of lightning and some rain, but nothing like Indiana got yesterday.
Yeah. Whole state got pummeled pretty much. We got lucky here in Fort Wayne. It hit hard all around us, but kind of dodged Fort Wayne somehow. Got some, you know, some nasty wind and rain, but not as bad as some other areas as far as tornadoes and straight line winds. So, but yeah, that's spring, and it looks like another round is coming Wednesday.
So, I'm a big storm guy, as you know, big fan of thunderstorms, and I need to see a tornado before my time is up on this earth. I have to see one. So one of these days I'm going to have to make a trip out to Oklahoma, Kansas, and try to become a storm chaser. That's my dream job. Be a storm chaser.
There you go. Should have been a meteorologist.
Should have been. I took at junior college, I took intro to meteorology, and last about 2 weeks, which is pretty typical of the J-Man's college experience. Before I dropped that one, but yeah,
I was gonna ask what letter grade you got in it, but
I didn't finish it. No, I didn't finish it.
There we go. There we go. Well, I wasn't the best test taker in high school or college. I'm still not, if we're including trivia as being part of a test taker. But I'm assuming you brought some birdie or bogey.
I did
this evening.
Since 1996, there are four coaches tied with 11 Elite Eight appearances, which is the most. Can you name those four coaches?
11 coaches.
No, four coaches tied with 11 Elite Eight.
11. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
11 Elite Eight appearances, which are they're tied for the most. Can you name those four coaches? 3-4 par, 4-4 birdie tonight.
Probably not, but I'll give it my best try.
Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for great cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Go check them out. I'm sure they'll be debuting their spring menu if they have not yet.
Yeah. Let's see here. Over the weekend, they had their Saturday special on the 29th was Spring Feature Hot Honey Salmon Bowl. Hot honey salmon bowl starts with a bed of fluffy jasmine rice and topped with perfectly glazed wild-caught salmon, dripping in a sweet heat hot honey sauce. And then you got crisp cucumber, tangy pickled red onion, juicy mango, creamy avocado, and tender asparagus spears for the ultimate fresh and flavorful combo.
I am a massive fan of hot honey. Hot honey on anything, really. And so last night I got some Wingstop. I got the hot honey chicken tenders, and I got two tenders for my daughter, just plain tenders for my daughter. Well, the way they package them, they put them in the same box and they just have them separated. And I set it down. I walked away. My wife unknowingly cut up the hot honey chicken tenders and gave them to my kid. And she was not a fan.
I can imagine.
To say the least, we're like, why is she loves chicken strips. Why is she not eating these chicken strips? She only wanted fries, which Wingstop fries are really good. Like, she needs to eat chicken, and she kept throwing it off of her plate. And turns out she accidentally was given the hot honey chicken tender. So hopefully, I mean, chicken tenders are a big part of her diet. So hopefully it hasn't scarred her for life, and she won't eat any more chicken. But hot honey, good stuff.
Hot honey and no go for your daughter.
Not for her.
They're a big part of my diet, too. So I'm on the same page with her there. So,
love hot honey drizzled on pizza. I like it on chicken. I like it pretty much.
Kind of a new craze.
Yeah.
It seems like the last couple of years across the country.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yep. So, but yeah, man, baseball underway. Yeah. We didn't do our baseball preview last week because just not enough time to prepare and bunch of other stuff to talk about last week. But now this week, we're down to only four teams left in college basketball, all one seeds for the first time since 2008 and the second time ever for the Final Four that all one seeds have made it. So now we got a lot of open time to talk. Mm-hmm. And we thought it'd be a good week to kick off baseball. And baseball's only, for most teams, 3 to 4 games in,
right,
for the most part. So still early enough we can make our predictions without really knowing who's going to be good and who's going to be bad. Even though there's some teams already you can tell they're going to be good and some that are going to be bad. But for the most part, it's pretty even playing field.
For the most part, even after a series, you don't really learn anything, especially the first week of the year. And obviously the teams that look good were good last year and are expected to be good. And, of course, we have some surprise teams that won a few games over the weekend. But, again, I'm always weary of playing bad teams early because, you know, the start of the season, they have this, you know, this energy to them where they probably don't have in June and July when they're pretty much out of it already. So you see them win a series or win a few games in the first week or two that they usually wouldn't win. So we've seen that already with the Marlins, for one, winning 3 of 4 against the Pirates, and the White Sox winning the first game of the season. Cardinals, even. I'll even throw them in there, sweeping the Twins. Don't learn a whole lot, but it's been fun for me to just have baseball back and give me something to watch pretty much every day at this point.
What's your take on these torpedo bats?
I have no issue with them. I mean, the Yankees have kind of gotten the most pub with them and everyone's saying they're cheating, but they've been used around baseball all weekend by a lot of teams. Cubs have already used some, Blue Jays, Orioles, they've used them as well. It's just been magnified with the Yankees because for one, it's the Yankees, and two, they've hit so many homers this weekend, against the Brewers.
Aaron Judge isn't even using
them. He's not even using them, and he hit four of them over the past 2 days. And another thing that people aren't talking about, the Yankees saw over 100 pitches over the weekend, under 90 miles an hour, over 100 fastballs, I should say, under 90 miles an hour. And with that short porch there on both sides of the outfield, you're going to hit a lot of homers, and that team is capable of hitting a lot of homers. And so they did. And I don't think the torpedo bats really had anything to do with it, honestly.
More the Brewers pitching.
Yeah, the Brewers pitching. And, I mean, it carried over against the Royals today. The Brewers found themselves down 10-0. So, looking pretty ugly there so far for the Brewers.
Yep. But I guess this is a dumb question because we've already been saying it's so early in the season. But any surprises so far to you as far as teams jumping out? Maybe the Cardinals?
Maybe the Twins being so bad because they got whooped by the White Sox today, or were getting whooped. I assume that
aren't the White Sox leading the league in ERA right now?
Yeah, I don't think they've given up an earned run from their starting pitching so far. So I guess that could be a surprise through, you know, 3 games, 4 games, something like that. But it's so tough to decipher anything from the first.
Yeah,
I would even say from the first month, 2 months even.
Yeah.
Once you hit June, you usually see teams start to separate a little bit, whether good or bad. But it's just nice to have it back, and I'm already mad. I'll be honest.
It took you 2 innings.
Yeah, I was ready about to rip an umpire's throat out 2 innings into the end of the season, and then Cubs bullpen yesterday gave up 10 runs in 4 innings. That makes my blood boil. Yeah. So I was pretty PO'd yesterday, but it's a good sort of PO'd where baseball, I get over it about 20 minutes after the game, where college basketball lasts me, or even the NFL lasts me till the next game. Which can be, you know, even sometimes a week at that point in college basketball. So next game tonight, you can't sulk. You got to just get out there and get back on her.
Who do they got this week?
They play the Athletics in their opening, which, again, I hate because the A's are not very good, and it's their first games ever in Sacramento. So in this, I don't even know if it holds 10,000 people, minor league stadium. I'm sure it'll be a packed house this week. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the Cubs can fight through that a little bit. But
heck, the Cubs might have a good portion of the crowd.
They'll do pretty well out there. But I imagine, because, you know, Sacramento's never had a Major League Baseball team, True. That it'll be absolutely packed. I assume a lot of people up in that region are A's fans anyway, or Giants fans for that matter. But, Cubs April. And really, since the start of the season playing in Arizona, their April's brutal. They get, they're done with the Dodgers in April, which is nice. But at the same time, you have to play the Dodgers a bunch in April. I think they might be done with the Padres in April as well, which is another tough one. They play the Phillies in April. Their April's brutal. So they just kind of have to keep their head above water a little bit. And hopefully they can go on a run once the schedule lightens up. But hate those excuses.
Yep. Well, you want to get right into our predictions for the 2025 season. Mm-hmm. We'll go division by division. Then I did MVP and Cy Young, and then, of course, World Series.
Also threw in my NL and AL Rookie of the Year, so I'll give those at the end as well.
I did not, but I figure you probably right. did. So, yeah. Starting with American League East, who do you got coming out of that division?
I have the New York Yankees winning that division.
I do as well.
They did lose Juan Soto. They traded for Cody Bellinger and closer Devin Williams as well from the Brewers. Signed Max Fried and Paul Goldschmidt. And they will be missing Gerrit Cole this year as he's having a Tommy John surgery. But they should still pitch really, really well. And as we saw over the weekend, what was it, 14 homers in four games?
Yeah, it was
most
ridiculous.
Ever to start a season. Judge has four of them already. He's on pace for about 150 or 200.
He was getting some bonds treatment yesterday.
Yeah, it's, which is smart. I'm surprised the teams haven't started doing that more. So if this is any indication how his season's going to go, he's going to win another MVP. And he's not slowing down. And he's 33 years old. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Off the hot start. I honestly, before the season started, I was like, I was going to pick him second in the division. Mm-hmm. But with the hot start in the weekend and me being still a Yankees fan, even though I'm more a casual Yankee fan these days, I was like, I'll put him first. Spoiler alert, I don't have him in the World Series, though.
Yeah.
And I still don't know if that's going to be good enough to – I say it every year – good enough to extend Aaron Boone's managerial career in New York. But I know for sure he'll be gone if they miss the playoffs. Yeah.
I did this – the preview before I saw what happened over the weekend. So I was trying to be a little more – not knowing of, because I mean, guys could get injured over the weekend too, and who knows, but I tried for the most part to do all of these before I saw what happened over the weekend.
Who do you got runner up in that division?
I have the Baltimore Orioles.
I do as well.
Runner up. They signed Tyler O'Neill for their outfield, and crazy stat, he has homered in six straight opening day games. Which is a major league record. Yeah, he's done it with three different teams, I think, with the Cardinals, Red Sox, and now Orioles. Maybe he did with the Mariners, too, because he was a Mariner. But they signed him to bolster that outfield. They signed old man Charlie Morton, 40-year-old, for the rotation, and 35-year-old Japanese starter Tomoyuki Sugano. They did lose Corbin Burns to the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Gunnar Henderson. Their stud shortstop starts the season on the injured list, but I think he's already playing in AAA, so he should be back fairly soon as kind of a shortened spring training for him. But again, pitching's a major question. I think they'll hit the ball all over the place, score a ton of runs, but the bullpen's not great. Starting pitching's old, and you don't have really a stud there in your rotation. But I think they'll be good. I don't think they'll be 100-win good like they were a couple years ago, but they should still be a postseason team.
Well, and last year was kind of the first year they had expectations, I felt like.
Yeah.
And didn't quite live up to it.
Yeah, 2 years ago, they kind of came out of nowhere with all these young guys and won over 100 games, and everyone's thinking they're going to win 100 games for years in a row. And last year, they were good last year, but it just seemed like something was off a little bit with them.
Yeah. Yep. Who do you got finishing third?
I have the Boston Red Sox finishing third.
I do as well.
Signed Alex Bregman to be their third baseman. Traded for Garrett Crochet from the Chicago White Sox. Signed Walker Buehler, Raldis Chapman. Rafael Devers is not happy that Bregman is the third baseman. And Devers responded over the weekend. I think he was 0 for 16 with 12 strikeouts as their full-time DH. So that'll be an interesting storyline to watch this year. It was interesting already when Devers said, I'm going to play third base. I'm not giving Bregman third base. Mm-hmm. And they gave Bregman third base. So I don't know if it's going to be a thing. They just signed Devers to a massive $200 million deal just a couple years ago, maybe just 2 years ago. So I don't know if it gets ugly towards July if they ship him off or something. But yeah, and Red Sox need a healthy Trevor Story. He hasn't been healthy in 5 years now.
Ever since he left Colorado.
Yeah, really. And yeah, he was starting to get hurt in Colorado too.
Yeah, he was.
And it's carried over to Boston, but they should be okay.
I saw a lot of people picking the Red Sox to win the division.
I think that's a stretch.
I did too.
I just think the Yankees are quite a bit better. I even think the Orioles are quite a bit better, but Red Sox should compete for a wild card spot. I don't remember if I even have them in my playoffs. I'll get to that once we get talking playoffs, but yeah, they should be okay.
Well, let's see if we agree all the way across the division. Who do you got number four?
Toronto Blue Jays.
Yep, we're gonna agree four. All the way 1-5. Yep.
Signed Anthony Santander from their division rival Baltimore Orioles. He has 30 homer power. They also traded for Andrés Giménez from Cleveland. They have pretty much a whole different bullpen. They have 5 to 6 new guys in that bullpen, led by closer Jeff Hoffman. The big storyline with them is, will Vladdy Jr. sign an extension? He's wanting $500-600 million. I don't think a first baseman should ever get $500-600 million. He had a fantastic year last year, but he needs to be able to replicate it. Need a much better Bo Bichette. He was terrible last year. They need him to stay healthy and be productive. And again, I think they're 1 through 4. All those teams have a chance to win the division. Because I think they'll be talented enough anyway, but the Blue Jays, because their pitching's not that great, I have them fourth.
I got them fourth as well, and I'm letting you say the details for most of these teams because you are a way bigger baseball fan than I am, and you got your finger on the pulse a lot more than I do. So I'm gonna let you run with a lot of this.
Sounds good.
So we both have the Rays finishing fifth, and they don't even have a stadium to play in.
No, they're also playing at a minor league baseball stadium, as is.
And yeah, if I understand correctly, they're not going forward with the renovate or
not
the renovation, but building a new stadium now.
Which there's been talk for 15 years now about them building a new stadium. So it's reached the point I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
When they actually break ground, I'll believe it. So I don't know what their plans are. This might lead them to move to Nashville.
That's what I was going to say. Is there somewhere. Any way they just move?
I think that'd probably be smart. Because there's no – I think if they moved to Nashville, that place would be packed almost every single game. Where they don't have any fan support there. They're lucky to get 10, 12,000 there, even when they're good.
To redo the divisions at all?
I don't think you'd need to.
Okay.
At all. No, I think they can stay in the AL East. Yeah, that shouldn't matter. Geographically, I mean, I think Nashville might be a little further east than I'd have to break out my map. Or at least not too much further west than Tampa is. But
that's a good point.
They did pretty much nothing this offseason. They weren't very good last year. They need Junior Caminero, their stud prospect, who's no longer a prospect. He'll be, I think he's only 21 years old now, but they need him to have a massive breakout year. They need a good Christopher Morel as well in order to be halfway decent. Usually their pitching has been their strength, but they, on paper, they should struggle preventing runs this year, which is not ideal, obviously.
I'll be interested to see their attendance numbers this year.
Yeah, it might help a little bit. They need to be moving into a smaller park anyway, just to make it look like there's more people there. I think they could easily get away with building a 25,000 to 30,000 seat park and be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But. Move on to the AL Central. This was baseball's worst division. pretty easily last year. I think she'll be better this year. Who do you got taking the crown?
They had three teams in the playoffs last year.
I'm an idiot. I thought they had one.
No. The Cleveland Guardians won the division last year. Tigers were in the wild card round, as were the Kansas City Royals.
That's right.
Yeah, before the season, I said I think all five teams will be 500 or worse.
What division? Was there a division that only got one team in last year?
The AL West wasn't great. Astros won it. Mariners were okay. The NL Central only got one. NL West was good. Okay. I think you might be thinking the AL West. I don't know. But
or maybe I'm getting confused with another year. I don't know.
Well, yeah, preseason last year, I think we said it'd be by far the worst. The White Sox bring it down quite a bit, honestly.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But I have the Kansas City Royals. I'm buying the Royals to win that division.
I'm taking the Tigers.
All right. I like that, too. But the Royals, they picked up Jonathan India in the offseason. A good utility guy, can play second base, can play outfield. Pretty solid hitter. I'm glad he's out of the Cubs division because it seemed like he was a Cubs killer there with the Cincinnati Reds. Bobby Witt Jr., potential MVP. Cole Reagans, potential Cy Young, dark horse. Really good left-handed pitcher that they picked up from the Texas Rangers in the Aroldis Chapman deal just 2 years ago. And he has turned into a bona fide superstar. Vinny Pasquantino, one of the most likable players in baseball. He's a really good first baseman. I think this team is poised to be pretty good.
I got the Royals second, so okay. Not too far.
And I have the Cleveland Guardians finishing second. Virtually same team as last year. They won 92 games. I think they were kind of a surprise team to win 92 games and win that division. They did trade Josh Naylor, who had 30 homers for him last year, to the Diamondbacks. But they got their old vet, Carlos Santana, to return after a few years away. As always, they'll pitch really, really well. They have arguably the best closer in the sport in Emmanuel Clase. And their run prevention is as good as any team in baseball. So I think that will keep them in it at least.
You can tell how much research I did. I have them fourth. And you just convinced me they have a good shot to win the division with all their pitching and their and I knew Clase was there, but I didn't know the rest about their pitching.
They should pitch well. They should be good, but again, I think they had a lot of things go their way last year to win 92 games. So maybe they'll fall back, and you'll be closer to than I.
They've been one of the more consistent teams the last 5 years.
They have.
Nobody really talks about them. So.
Yeah, they. I mean, they were in the. They were in the ALCS last year, and they lost to the Yankees, I believe. Yeah. It's Cleveland, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I have the Detroit Tigers finishing third. They were a surprising 86-win playoff team at the deadline, trade deadline. They were shipping guys off. Jack Flaherty was one of them. And so they thought people thought they'd fold, and they ended up getting hot. And now they added Jack Flaherty back. After trading Dodgers at the deadline last year, added Gleyber Torres to be their second baseman. Tarik Skubal coming off a Cy Young Award winning season. He is a stud, could win two in a row. I think they'll be right there. And honestly, I think those three, you can flip a coin and decide who the winner is, because I think they're very interchangeable.
Well, and I think Hinch is just a darn good manager.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's fantastic. Even though he had the cheating allegations and all that,
right.
he didn't run it. He didn't stop him. From doing it, and he knew it was wrong. So yeah, he definitely knows what he's doing.
Yeah, so. I got the Twins third.
Okay, I have the Twins finishing fourth. They were kind of a disappointment last year. 82 wins.
Yeah, they were.
Pitching really struggled, and they did absolutely nothing this offseason to fix it. They need Byron Buxton, Carlos Correa, Royce Lewis to all stay healthy, because none of those guys have proven they can do it. If they all stay healthy, they could easily win the division, even though I have them finishing fourth. But it remains to be seen with their health. And again, their pitching is just not good at all. That's an ownership group that has decided to stop spending money too, which
like too many ownership groups in the MLB.
In baseball, for sure. More than any other sport, it's getting concerning. So,
well, this isn't a surprise. We both have the White Sox finishing last.
They were the worst team in the history of sport last year, and they decided, let's run her back. Let's run it back. I think Will Venable.
New manager, though.
Yeah, new manager. Will Venable, yeah. Which I like Will. He was the Cubs first base coach past couple years. And he seems like a good dude and smart guy. He's an Ivy League. I think he's Princeton grad. So maybe he'll they shouldn't lose 121 games. That you have to be special bad. You and honestly, you have to be pretty unlucky to lose 121 games.
That's true.
So I don't think they'll lose that many. I don't think they'll win more than 50 to 55 though. And
Oh man.
Yeah, their first game of the year, there was quite a few fans there. I knew a couple people there actually at opening day, and then I saw game three, and it looked like there was about 70 people there maybe, which hopefully Jerry made enough money to pay the electric bill for the year. Yep. On opening day. So we'll see.
Well, I know our good buddy Aaron Lynch, he got opening day. Now he got them back in January, but he got opening day tickets for $67 a piece.
That's not bad for opening day.
Good seats too.
Even though they stink, that's not bad for opening day. I think this week you could probably get in there for about a 5 cent piece or something.
Yeah,
like
you,
that.
You'll pay more for parking than you will.
Yeah, you'll just yep. throw a nickel at the ticket vendor. Yep. And so yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to at least 5 games this year. So. I know of.
Yeah, going to even though your team stinks, going to baseball games is fun.
Yep. And if your team's gonna stink, it's more enjoyable to go to the game than watch it on TV.
1,000%. Although I went to the worst Cubs team in history was 2012, and I watched almost every game start to finish on TV. And the one game I decided to go to is when they lost 17-1 to the New York Mets. So. And
that would be enjoyable.
The issue was, you know, we were looking at pitching matches. We're like, all right, they have a chance today because Jeff Samardzija is going. He was the only pitcher worth anything in that rotation. So they got a chance. And then I think Daniel Murphy hit 2 homers and a couple other guys. He was. That was before he turned into the Daniel Murphy that he ended up being. But that was ugly.
Yeah. No matter how you slice it, 17-1.
Yeah.
If your team's on the losing side, it's not enjoyable.
And it was one of those things where the Cubs' first run came when they were down 12 or something, like that.
It wasn't like they got off the 1-0 lead or anything.
Right, where at least you get a little bit of crowd involvement. It was over from the start.
AL West.
I have the Texas Rangers winning the American League West.
I do as well.
They won the World Series 2 years ago and then were very disappointing, 78-84. Mm-hmm. They signed Jock Peterson and Jake Berger to – I think they traded for Jake Berger to help their offense, which kind of struggled last year. They had some injuries too. They need Jacob deGrom to make half his starts at least this year because he's still a difference maker. He's still throwing 100 miles an hour. He just cannot stay healthy. And he's kind of the key, but I think the Rangers will be pretty good.
Yep, I do as well. I have them there. A lot of the experts have them there. They're a sexy pick to be in the World Series again. Yeah. So, which is crazy if thinking back on if they do happen to make it. Since 2010, so the last 15 years, they'd be the 3 World Series. And they're, their franchise when we were growing up, besides when they went and got A-Rod and then they had A-Rod, Pudge, Juan Gonzalez, and Galarraga. Besides that, and they didn't do anything with them anyways, and Paul Romero. Besides that, they were franchises you never thought of.
Yeah. They were able to sign guys to big time deals like A-Rod and Alfonso Soriano even, but they were not, they just weren't very good. As you said, they've played in 20% of the World Series since 2010. And they've only won one of them. And I struggle even thinking about the 2011 one just because of the way it happened and the fact that it was the St. Louis Cardinals beating them when they should have won. But, should be good this year and should have a chance to get there again. But
Who do you got number 2 in that division?
Seattle Mariners. I have finished in second. Can really, really pitch. 3.49 ERA as a team last year. The rotation's awesome. Logan Gilbert, Luis Castillo, Bryce Miller, Brian Wu, Emerson Hancock, George Kirby's arguably their best, and he's hurt right now, but he should be back. Their issue is offense. They hit 224 as a team last year, and I'm still waiting on that Julio Rodriguez breakout because he came up at 19 and had a great rookie year and just hasn't been that good since. So if they can just score a few runs, they should be all right.
I absolutely hate my number two pick, but if you remember, one of my 25 bold predictions of 2025 was the A's were going to make the playoffs. For some dumb reason. And yeah. So I put the A's number two in the division.
Oh. You got to stick to it.
I do, unfortunately. If you're going to
have bold predictions,
you got to stick to it. Man, I made some dumb ones this year.
Who do you have finishing third?
Astros.
I have Houston as well. They traded Kyle Tucker to the Cubs, lost Alex Bregman. Isaac Paredes, who they got from the Cubs, could hit 40 homers in that ballpark. He is an extreme fly ball pull hitter, and with it having that real short porch there in the Crawford box, he could hit 40 homers there. Who knows?
Well, you know, and it was one of those things. It was hard for me not to pick him to win the division. Right. Because even last year, I mean, we first half of the year, they struggled for majority.
I know.
We're like, just wait. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Finally, we didn't have to watch him in the championship series like we had since 2017. But Cam Smith, another guy that got for Kyle Tucker in the Cubs trade, has only played 30 games or played less than 40 minor league games, and he made the roster after having incredible spring training. So
it was cool how they did it, too, with his parents cool. coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, brought his family in. And so we'll see. I don't know. 40 minor league games and he's already in the big leagues. That's kind of
taking a chance. Scary.
Yeah. And you send him down, it could just tank his confidence. And, who knows how that's going to work, but, I have the Athletics finishing fourth.
We got the Mariners.
They signed Luis Severino to bolster that rotation. Brent Rooker could hit 35 plus homers. Lawrence Butler is really good for them in the outfield. So I think in the second half last year, they were over 500. So they played some pretty good baseball. And we'll see if they're able to carry it over. They're playing in Sacramento.
So we're agreeing on the last place teams in every division so far, and the Anaheim Angels.
Yeah, the Angels. They made some moves that would have been awesome 5 years ago. They signed Jorge Soler and Yoan Moncada, Tim Anderson, Kyle Hendricks. Poor Mike Trout. I don't know if we'll ever see him play in the postseason again.
Unbelievable.
Unless he tries to force his way out. He needs to stay healthy. But that team is not good. Their farm system's not good. It's rough.
You know, when we were just saying we might never see him play in the postseason, I'm thinking, have we ever really seen an unbelievable athlete not only not win a championship, but hardly ever play in the playoffs? Only one I can think of, and he made it once, was Barry Sanders.
Honestly, a good comparison between sports, because basketball, it's so easy to make
there's playoffs. So many teams.
Yeah. And if you're a superstar, you can carry a team to the playoffs.
Yeah.
The NBA, but Trout and Barry Sanders, pretty good comparison because Trout's only played in it once, in 14. But unless he forces his way out, which he doesn't seem like the kind of guy to do that,
right? But part of him has to be thinking, like,
has to,
man,
he's a big, I mean, he's an East Coast kid, huge Eagles fan, maybe he forces his way to the East Coast somehow. One of these days, but again, he hasn't said I want to trade or anything like that. So, that might just not be in his character to do that, which is respectable. So, moving on to the NL East, I have the Philadelphia Phillies winning the East.
I have the Atlanta Braves.
Okay. I have the Braves finishing second.
I got the Phillies second. So.
The Phillies will score a ton of runs. Signed Max Kepler to the bolster their outfield. Traded for Jesus Luzardo from the Miami Marlins. And he is a lefty with ridiculous stuff. Had a terrible year last year. And so the Phillies were able to buy low on him, which is very smart to do. And didn't give up a whole lot for him. And he's a guy that could take the next step. He's lefty, throws 100 miles an hour almost. And I am imagining a breakout just because he's on a good team. But bullpen is a question, which seems like it's been a question for the Phillies for years now. So, and then as far as the Braves go, health is the key. Ozzie Albies has to stay healthy. Acuna's coming back from a torn ACL. They say he could be back by the end of the month. Spencer Strider as well had Tommy John last year, so maybe by the end of the year he'll be back. Probably their biggest offseason acquisition was Yrjesson Profar, who had a great year with Padres last year. He just tested positive for a banned substance today, and he's banned and suspended for 80 games.
How do you do that?
And he's not eligible for the postseason now. He can come back after 80 games, but he's not eligible for the postseason. And it was a substance that Manny Ramirez got in trouble for, too. It's a thing that's supposed to – that guys usually take after they take steroids to flush it out of their system. So that's a banned thing as well. So I don't know if it was an accident. Some of these are probably accidents, because you can't imagine guys stupid enough to try to inject something like that.
You wouldn't think.
It's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to get caught, that sort of thing. Yeah. People are stupid, though.
Yep.
But so, one of my bold predictions was the New York Mets would miss the playoffs, and I have them finishing third in the NL.
I do as well.
Signed Juan Soto to a $700 million deal. then Pete Alonso's back as well. I think they'll be solid but unspectacular. Pitching is the key, and they haven't been able to stay healthy. And honestly, on paper, their pitching's not that great.
I was going to say, they got to stay healthy across the field, too. And that's been a problem of theirs for a while.
Yeah, Lindor had a great year last year. He needs to be able to replicate that. But outside of Soto, Alonso, and Lindor, it's just they're okay. I don't think they're all that great. So,
well, in the bottom of this division, I think, is going to stink really bad.
Yeah, the Nats, in my opinion, are interesting for the first time in 5 or 6 years. I don't think they'll be great, but I think they're a team where you probably won't want to play come August or September.
You could be a spoiler.
Could be, yeah. Sign Josh Bell, trade for Nathaniel Lowe, so that'll help, especially first base. I don't know if they'll platoon those guys. But two young players that came up real early, both guys 22 and younger, James Woods and Dylan Cruz. They need both those guys to have good years in order to be successful. Mackenzie Gore as well. He had 13 strikeouts in game one and 6 innings. And he's a lefty with fantastic stuff. So if you get a Cy Young caliber year out of him, you could be talking potential to compete for a wild card spot. But I think they're a year or two away from doing that. So
I have them fifth. I have the Marlins fourth.
I have the Marlins fifth. I think they'll be nearly as bad as the White Sox were last year. They got rid of all of their halfway decent players. They do get Sandy Alcantara back from injury. He missed the majority of last year, if not all of last year. So that will help. But that lineup is putrid. Just putrid. So
it's not a good year for Florida baseball.
No, it's really not a good year for Florida anything at this point. That's true.
That's true. Well, are the Heat and Magic should be in playoffs.
Magic, yes. I think the Heat are battling with the Bulls for that one of the final play-in spots. So they've kind of been a disappointment, because I see all the Heat stuff with following Dolphins.
I know the Florida Panthers are good for hockey.
Are they good? Yeah. I guess Tampa Bay made the
Lightning are usually pretty good too.
Made the playoffs. Tampa Bay Buccaneers made the playoffs.
NL Central.
I have the Cubs win it. I have the Cubs as my bold prediction. On paper, they're the best team in the division. But I think they were last year too, and they missed the playoffs.
I had them winning it last year too, if I remember correctly.
I think I did too. They did trade for Kyle Tucker. He's a legit superstar level offensive bat, and it's already proven so far. He has 2 homers in their first 4 games, 2 big homers in their first 4 games. But they pitching. Bullpen gave up 10 runs in 4 innings yesterday. They got a 6-2 lead in the bottom of the 8th and gave up 8 runs in the 8th inning yesterday. I was not very happy. And they almost blew a 3-run lead in the 9th on Saturday. And Dansby Swanson made a fantastic defensive play to end it. So pitching. Rotations looked okay so far. Matt Boyd, who they signed from Cleveland, looked good yesterday. Justin Steele's already has 2 starts under his belt. Shota Imanaga has 2 starts under his belt. And I think Shota's given up 1 run so far this year in this 2 starts. Steele's been okay. Jameson Taillon didn't look very good, but it's early. But bullpen, that's the question mark. And so far it's looked awful. And that is on Jed. It's on Ricketts. they traded Cody Bellinger as a salary dump to save $25 million. And the guy they got for him, they've already traded to the Baltimore Orioles, and they didn't spend any of that money they saved. So both things can be true. The Ricketts haven't given enough money, but they've given Jed enough to put together a competent bullpen. And it's what cost them playoffs last year. They were so bad in April and May that they just couldn't recover. And they need to figure it out quick. So Matt Shaw, though, third baseman, made the roster out of spring training, and he hit his first career homer on Saturday, and they need him to have a solid rookie year. But they should be good. I don't think any team's going to win 90 games in this division. I think the division winner will win 85, 86 at most. So,
yeah, Jamie, we're going to have to fly through the rest of these.
Yes, we are. I have the Brewers finishing second on paper. They're not great, but they have a way about them to be good. They lost Devin Williams. Need Yelich to stay healthy, though, and Jackson Churio to take the next step. So,
yep, I got the Brewers second, and I got the Reds third.
I have the Reds third. Bullpen is horrendous, like the Cubs. Traded for Gavin Lux and Brady Singer. Rotation should be pretty good. Need Ellie De La Cruz to actually play like the MVP everyone said he would be. Maybe this is the year.
Fourth, surprisingly, I got the Pirates.
I have the Pittsburgh Pirates as well. Starting rotation's awesome. Paul Skeens,
yeah,
I think will win the Cy Young. They just cannot hit, and they didn't do a single thing to fix that offense. They had a great opportunity to add some bats.
Have they the ever?
Farm system? No. No, they never have. I even wrote in my notes, shame on them is what I wrote, because if you have any sort of offense, this Pirates team could be really good.
Yeah.
But they don't. Both have the Cardinals finishing fifth. The lost Goldschmidt to the Yankees didn't add a single significant piece to an already aging roster. They swept Twins the first series, but I think Cardinals will lose 90 plus games this year, in my opinion.
They want to move Arenado, but he won't waive his no trade clause. So.
He's had a pretty good start. They say his bat speed, miles per hour, is up 4 miles an hour on average from last year. So maybe he's striking lightning in a bottle this year. But
maybe.
I assume we both have the Dodgers winning the West. Yep. The rich get richer. Dodgers signed Blake Snell, Roky Sasaki, Kirby Yates. Rich get richer. D-backs finishing second.
Me too. Yep.
Starting rotation's great. Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Corbin Burns. Bullpen solid as well. Traded for Josh Naylor. Ketel Marte is the most underrated player in the sport. They led baseball and runs scored last year, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do it again. I have the Padres finishing third.
I do as well.
Man, we are almost right on this year. Signed Nick Pivetta and Kyle Hart to fortify their rotation. Bullpen should be good. Need typical years from Xander Bogaerts, Machado, Tatis. Jackson Merrill's a stud for them, so I think they'll be really good. I have the Giants finishing fourth. I assume you do as well. Signed Willy Adames to a massive deal. Signed old man Justin Verlander. I just don't think they'll have enough offense to really compete, but they should be able to pitch. Rockies, very bad.
Stink.
Would love to see Chris Bryant healthy, but he's healthy so far, and he's 0 for.
He finally reached base today.
Did he reach base?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. The Monforts need to sell the team. I say that every year, but they won't.
They do. Yep.
They like to line their pockets, and
yes, they do. Who's in your playoffs for the National League?
National League, I got the Braves and the Phillies out of the East. I got the Cubs and Brewers out of Central, and the Dodgers and Diamondbacks out of the West. So two each.
We're pretty close. I have the Braves, Phillies, Cubs, the only team out of the Central. I have Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and Padres in the National League. American League, I have the Yankees, Orioles, Royals, Guardians, Rangers, Mariners. So I have two each in that one.
I got two each, Yankees, Orioles, Tigers, Royals, Rangers, A's.
And then World Series, I have Dodgers over Rangers.
I do as well.
Oh, all right. Yep. Man, we're right there. Who's your National League most valuable player?
L.A. De La Cruz.
Oh, that stinks.
I think he has a great year, but his team doesn't do much.
I have Juan Soto winning the NL MVP. AL MVP.
Aaron Judge.
I have Bobby Witt Jr.
Switch
it he up a little bit.
I thought about. Yeah.
Did you say you did Cy Young as well?
I did.
Okay.
Which division? Which
National one? League.
Paul Skeens.
I have Paul Skeens as well. American League.
Cole Reagans.
I do as well. So we're right there. And then my National League Rookie of the Year, I have Roky Sasaki with the LA Dodgers. He got rocked in his first game, and they show him crying in LA because he got booed off the mound. They're ruthless there. And American League Rookie of the Year, I have Jackson Jobe from the Detroit Tigers. So should be pretty.
Yeah, cool. I was reading about him today. Almost part of you wanted to pick him as a Cy Young just to be different, but like that rookie's not going to win Cy Youngs.
Yeah. Looking forward. I mean, one thing I always look forward to is baseball is like a Tuesday night on the road. Just you turn the Cubs on and they're playing. I don't know where they're playing, in Pittsburgh or something. It's just kind of sit back and relax and then get mad in the eighth inning when the bullpen blows.
What's your go-to watching baseball snack?
Not a big snack guy.
No.
No, not a snacker. I eat big meals, but I don't really snack. In the ballpark, I would probably say nachos. I'm not a big popcorn guy. Not a big snacker for whatever reason.
It's just funny. You just mentioned popcorn. My mother-in-law got us this mixed, like, Chicago-style popcorn. Corn and cheese. My wife downstairs, she just texted me, "Did you eat all the popcorn?" I finished it off today. hungry as my post-lunch snacks.
So. Yeah. It's the weirdest. You would think it's the weirdest combo, but man, that cheese and caramel together is fantastic. It's so weird. Yeah,
it is. It is. It is. Well, I got some blind rankings for you. And they're baseball related, Cubs related. So I went back and found, since 2000, different starting opening day pitchers.
Cubs.
You got to rank them 1 through 5 without knowing who's going to come next. So starting with Ryan Dempster.
Oh, man.
Starter in 2011 and 12.
He had pretty good years as a starter. He was a miserable closer. Ah, man. This could go so poorly or so well. I'm going to put him 4th.
4th?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Jake Arrieta.
Oh, man.
This is going to be tough.
His mid-2014 through 2016 was arguably the greatest run of Cubs pitchers ever had. One of the best runs. His 2015 second half is arguably the best run a starting pitcher in the history of baseball has ever had. It's lowest ERA ever. In the second half, I gotta put him 1, I guess.
And his only opening day start is 2016.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yep. I'm between like I got a whole list, but I can only pick 3 more. We'll go with John Lester.
I'll put him 2.
2.
Okay. Big John.
He started on 15, 17, 18, and 19.
Yeah, oh, man, it's tough not having him 1 because big old lefty. But I'm okay with the 1-2 there.
Okay. All right, let's go with Jeff Samardzija, 13-14.
5. Pretty easy.
Yeah, I was gonna go with one of the recent ones, the last 3 years, but. Mm.
Even if you went with one of the recent ones, I'd still put Samardzija 5.
Yep. Well, and this one I was gonna do the whole time. I just some of the other two I was filling in. Carlos Zambrano.
I'm fine with him 3rd. Okay. Yeah.
Six opening day starts.
Yeah.
5 through 10.
I was gonna say they were probably all on a row too.
They only won one of them.
That doesn't surprise me. He was such an emotional player that opening day. He was so amped up. The opening day start I remember the most was that 2010 where Cubs got up 3-0, and then first inning, I think he gave up 5 runs, including a 3-run homer to Jason Hayward in the first pitch Hayward ever saw. I'm very comfortable with that list. The only guys I'd think about switching are Arrieta and Lester, but I'm okay with that.
Can you tell me who the opening day starter was in 04 and 03?
04, I imagine it was Pryor.
Kerry Wood?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
2003, I would imagine that was probably Kerry Wood as well, or was that
Mark Matt Pryor? Pryor never started opening day.
I wonder if he was hurt to start 2004, because it seems like Pryor would have been their opening day.
Beat the Reds in Great American. How about 2002, 2001, 2000?
I don't think I have a guess for Kevin Tappany, one of them.
That was in 98.
Trying to think who those teams stunk. I'm trying to think who was even in their rotation those years. 2000. I have no idea. Give them to me.
John Lieber started all three.
I should have picked Lieber because he won 20 games in 2001. Man, I should have picked Lieber in 20.
The 99 was a guy named Steve Traxel.
Steve Traxel, human rain delay. He would he would hold on to that thing for a full minute before he'd pitch it. It was exhausting to watch.
Yep. It looks like, if I'm seeing this, Nebrano's second with the most opening day starts. Fergie Jenkins at 7.
I would have guessed Fergie. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So, yep.
Good list.
That is the blind ranking segment. It was brought to you by, like it is every week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. You need to look no further. Let them be your one source print promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Are you ready to get educated here real quick?
I need it.
On this day in 1877, Test cricket debut of feared Australian fast bowler Fred the Demon Spofforth. Australia loses the second test by 4 wickets to England at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. What a nickname, the Demon.
Fred the Demon, yeah. Must have just installed fear in the opponents.
Mm. On this day in 1906, Intercollegiate Athletic Association of the U.S. is founded to set rules in amateur sports, becomes the NCAA, the most corrupt organization in the U.S.
Hate them.
I do too. On this day in... Who won the NCAA Tournament Men's Basketball Championship on this day in 75?
75. I'm going to go UCLA. I can't
think. It was UCLA over Kentucky. John Wooden had just his retirement 2 days prior, and it was their 10th title under him. On this day in, man, the fourth NCAA Women's Basketball Championship game was played on this day in 1985. Old Dominion won the women's title.
You could have gave me 100 guesses. I wouldn't come up with Old Dominion.
I know. They beat Georgia. Old Dominion, that's wild. Who won the PGA Tour Players Championship on this day in 85? I've never heard of either of these guys.
Oh, great. I don't even know. If you haven't heard of them, I don't know. I'm
Calvin Pete?
I've heard of him, but I couldn't tell you anything he did. So,
and then he won by 3 strokes over D.A. Weibring?
Nope. Never heard of him.
Who won the tournament on this day in 86?
How about Tom Watson?
Say that again?
Tom Watson?
No, sorry. NCAA Basketball Men's Championship.
I thought you meant Players Tournament.
No. Sorry. Oh, I should have clarified.
86. Was it 85? Was that Villanova?
86 was Louisville.
I think Villanova was 85.
That was the first, another interesting factoid. That was the first tournament to use a shot clock. 45 seconds. Can you imagine?
Oh, geez.
On this day in 87, Indiana won. We don't need to rehash that one. On this day in 91, who won the Players?
Players Championship 91. Was that? Tom Kite?
It was Steve Elkington.
Ah.
He beat Fuzzy Zoller.
Yeah, Indiana's own Fuzzy.
Wow. What a name.
Yep.
On this day in 1994, the White Sox assigned former NBA superstar Michael Jordan to the Birmingham Barons of the AA Southern League.
Number 45.
Very long. Yep. On this day in 96, who won the Players?
Fred Couples?
It was Freddie Couples.
Good guess.
Good pull. Good pull. Who won the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship on this day in 97?
Arizona.
It was Arizona. They beat Kentucky. On this day in 1998.
Simon, Mike Bibby.
Yeah, real good team. On this day in 98, the Milwaukee Brewers became the first team since the inception of the American League in 1901 to switch leagues. Went to the A&O. Yeah. A few more here, maybe one more. On this day in 2003, the Reds opened their new home at Great American Ballpark, and they opened it with a 10-1 loss to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
They played Synergy Field before that.
Yeah. So. And that is going to do it for On This Day. There's nothing after 2004 for some reason.
I was ready for some more championship trivia there.
Nope.
So, On This Day is brought to you by, like as every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them on Instagram and on Facebook at Mooney Woodcrafts is their handle on Instagram. And if you let them know that Tana J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. Get those signed orders in for Mother's Day. Makes the perfect gift for mom.
Yes, sir. Final four is set. And as you said, it's all one seeds.
All chalk.
Yep.
Pretty chalky Elite Eight. It was all ones and twos except Texas Tech is a three. Texas Tech probably should have beat Florida, but choked it away.
Definitely should have.
Auburn, not easily, but controlled the game against Michigan State, even though Broome goes down with, well, he thought it was a broken elbow, then he's fine.
Yeah.
Duke controlled Alabama.
Yeah.
The whole time. And then Houston dominated Tennessee.
I mean, you saw it firsthand on Friday night. That Houston defense is
a pain to play.
Bear. And Purdue has the best point guard in college basketball, and that was the only reason why they were able to keep it there. And obviously, an incredible inbounds setup or draw by Kelvin Sampson to finish the game. But how are you feeling after that one? Was that as much of a heartbreaker as some of the others?
It's not as heartbreaking as Virginia, but in a way, because I was so proud of the team for fighting
for sure.
All game long. Down 10, I thought it was over. Down 7 a couple times, thought it was over. And they just wouldn't give up, you know. And they played good enough defense to make Houston miss some shots, got some key rebounds. I don't remember the last time I've yelled so loud on TV, not being at a game, than when Kim Heidi tied it up. I woke my wife up. She had went to bed. And I actually went in the room to get something with 2.5 minutes ago. She asked me what the score was because she was like half asleep. I said, we're down 2. She goes, I'm glad I'm not watching. I yelled so loud, 30 seconds left. She goes, what happened? I said, Cam just hit a 3 tight. She goes, I have to get up and come watch.
Yeah.
So she comes out to the living room, watches. And then by that time, even though, you know, how the game ended, she couldn't go back to sleep because the adrenaline's flowing then. So heartbreak city. Purdue was not going to win if went to overtime, though. You can't convince me they were going to win. Win to overtime. Would have loved to get the ball with 7 seconds, though, if they would have called
for
a push.
Sure. Yeah.
Would have loved that. But crowd showed up in Indy. Mm-hmm. Good on Houston for winning pretty much 2 road games.
Yeah.
Even against Tennessee on yesterday. But I don't think Houston gets past Duke. And I think Florida beats Auburn. So I think
either.
We have Duke, Florida next
week. I agree with you. And I think that was my national title game anyway.
That was both of ours. But I think you had Florida and I had Duke, maybe? Or no, did we agree?
No, I had Duke winning it.
Okay, so we agreed on the Final Four and the championship.
No, I had Tennessee.
Auburn.
I had Tennessee in the Final Four. I might have had Auburn, now that I think
about it. No, I had Tennessee in the Final Four.
I had Tennessee in the Final Four as well.
Yeah, we agreed on the Final Four, but I thought we didn't agree on the championship. But nonetheless. Yeah.
This will be the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. I think the final or the national championship matchup will be Duke and Florida. I think Florida, after getting incredible momentum after coming back from 9 down with 2.5 minutes left
of being tested. Like them and Houston both feel like they won a game. Well, Houston was in more control than Florida against Texas Tech, but they both won a game maybe they shouldn't have or definitely could have lost. And that's what sometimes you have to do on your championship journey.
Have to, yeah. But J-Man's Book and Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561.
Hit me with that birdie or bogey again, Jay, man, because I got to be honest, I don't remember it.
Four coaches in the Elite Eight are since, I'm going to start that over. Since 1996, four coaches are tied with 11 Elite Eight appearances, which are tied for the most in college basketball. Can you name those four coaches? Three for a par, four for a birdie.
11 Elite Eight appearances. Mm-hmm.
Four of them.
This is 98.
96.
96. Nice. Tom Izzo.
Yep.
11 Elite Eight appearances. Mike Krzyzewski.
Nope.
What?
Nope.
I was so certain of that.
Nope.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You still have a chance at a par.
Bill Self?
Bill Self's one of them.
Oh shoot. Oh. 11. That's a lot. I don't think this guy did, but Jim Calhoun?
Incorrect. You get a bogey. John Calipari?
He was on my mind, but I didn't think he did it.
The guy I think you'd forget about, and that's Roy Williams.
Yeah. Dang it. Oh, man, I stink at this.
So do I. So do I. I'm excited to get a birdie bogey next week. So, thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll talk
Masters
title
next
game. Masters week next week, huh? Book it. You know what's coming there, Rory. Sorry, buddy, but you know what's coming. Have a fantastic week, everybody.